shakers, inspiration from around the nation. It's the 411, we're sharing care. What a way to make your day. Sharing care is on the way.
Good afternoon, Nashville. Let me say hey, hey, hey to all the lovely people. Many of you are in the car. Some are still toiling away at the old desk. And some are retired and don't have nothing to do with themselves, but just turn the radio on and see what we're doing at Jazzy WFSK. There is a lot of this and that's coming up this afternoon, as usual, because you know how I like to do it. And knowing that that's the case, I'm happy to have you all tuned in today. And I have two pieces of community news for you today. One local and one national, because there's a lot going on everywhere. And then we're going to get some survey data that has, later on in the hour, that has Nashville in it. And we'll find out what that data reflects. And it's different than the survey that we have been talking about for the last couple of weeks with the Equity Alliance. This one is as it relates to the movement and people in the coronavirus era. So we'll hear about that a little bit later. This week is National Healthcare Center Week, as being celebrated by the Matthew Walker Comprehensive Health Center. And I'm very happy to have the Chief Executive Officer, Ms. Katina Beard, with me this afternoon to give us the scoop on what's been going on and everything that'll be going on for the rest of the week. How are you today, Ms. Beard?
I am well, Sharon. Thank you so much for the opportunity to join me today.
Of course. You all are convenient neighbors. I see your facility every day because I'm in the immediate neighborhood. Uh-huh. And we always send our best over to the staff at Matthew Walker. And every day. I say, Lord, come on, bless them now.
But we appreciate it. We stand on 52 years of prayers, just like that. And so we appreciate it all day, every day.
Well, you all are in a life-saving mission there. So, you know, all of our folks working at, in healthcare, I know you have a lot of customers, as in clientele and service delivery, has been really, really busy. So I noticed that even though we were in the pandemic, you all were still trying to help people and solve various and sundry health problems. So thank you all for your contribution to make our community a better place. Now, could you, for folks that may not be familiar with where the facility is, and just a couple of sentences on the history of the services and what it is you all do.
Sure. So our Nashville location is located right on the corner of 14th and Jefferson Street. It's a beautiful two-story building that looks rather small from the outside, but when you come in and visit, it's chock full of great services for just about anyone. So we have, of course, medical services that are provided by nurse practitioners and physicians. We have a full dental clinic that has three dentists and six dental residents, two hygienists on the second floor. We have our own radiology program, which includes mammography and on-site pharmacy. We have social services and case management. We have behavioral health, which also includes a Suboxone clinic for our community residents that are trying to overcome the opioid addiction that has ravaged our community. Mm-hmm. And so we have many services that are available Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. We accept insurance, TennCare, Medicare, but we also have a sliding fee program for individuals who are without insurance and have limited incomes. And mm-hmm. so to qualify for those programs, they just simply need to bring in proof of their income or mm-hmm. unemployment or lack of income, mm-hmm. you know, whatever that proof is, mm-hmm. and the number of household members, and we will set them up on the sliding fee scale.
Oh, excellent. So there's no excuses not to go to get yourself checked.
We try to make it as easy as possible. We have many programs that will help individuals. Mm-hmm. We were awarded COVID funding from the United Way COVID-19 mm-hmm. response mm-hmm. Funding agency to help people who are recently unemployed due to COVID, to help with their chronic disease management medication, so mm-hmm. diabetes, hypertension, asthma, seizure medication, mm-hmm. so that they won't have to pay for that. We partner with Tennessee Cervical and Breast Cancer Program. I think you've heard about that program before, that will mm-hmm. help women who qualify for free mammograms and pap smears. And so we try to make it as affordable and as accessible as possible.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Because everybody that doesn't travel outside of their neighborhood may not be aware that this wonderful facility is right here on Jefferson Street.
And yeah, and we have so many new neighbors to the community that I hear a lot of times when they meet me, they say, oh, I drive past that building every day and I didn't know what it was. And so I'm like, you know, I don't know. I think I would have to pop in if I drove past the building every day. Yeah. I think I would have to just pop in and see what it was.
Exactly.
And so I invite people to just pop in and see what we do.
Yeah. Now, in this COVID era, have you all had to change your service delivery in terms of, making appointments, and how do you handle that?
Sure. I mean, initially it started off very slow, you know, when the pandemic first became, the situation that we know it is today, we really had to kind of take a step back and restructure some of the things that we were doing. And so mm-hmm. one of the first things that we had to do was stop our non-traditional hours, which were our Monday and Tuesday evening hours and our Saturday hours, mm-hmm. Initially to preserve our personal protective equipment, so our mask and our gloves and all those things, because there were such limited supply. And then it became more about being able to control the environment and the number of people that were coming through our buildings. And then it also became about our staff. And because working in this environment and working in a pandemic, I don't care in whatever mm-hmm. area you're in at this point, it affects you mm-hmm. mentally and physically and emotionally. And so we wanted to preserve our staff as much as possible. And so that's one of the first things that we had to do. Mm-hmm. One of the other things that we had to do was change our internal environment. And so when you come in now, you will see some plexiglass mm. up at the windows that's protecting the staff and the patients. Mm-hmm. We have started to structure some of our appointments, not necessarily in our Nashville office, but in our Smyrna office. We mm-hmm. changed from being able to see everyone every day to making days that were just for our pregnant women, because we wanted to be very careful that we did not expose them unnecessarily to other adults who may be carrying the virus. Mm-hmm. And so for those reasons, and then we have our screening process at the door. So everyone that comes in, staff, a patient, a visitor, are all screened with mm-hmm. their temperature checks and the CDC questions of, mm-hmm. do you have a fever, sore throat, have you been around anyone that's been, tested positive for COVID-19. Mm-hmm. So we do that every day. And it becomes, people can become intolerant to it or impatient to mm-hmm. it. But it's a necessary part of the process now.
Most definitely. And you mentioned the Smyrna location. Could you give that address? Because I don't know if I ask you to give that one or not.
Yeah, sure. So our Nashville address is 1035 14th Avenue North. Our Smyrna address is 739 President Place in mm. Smyrna, Tennessee. Mm. Our Clarksville location is 230 Dover Road, okay. Clarksville, Tennessee.
Okay. And some of the same services are available at each facility.
Some, yes. So in Clarksville, we have behavioral health and dental services. Mm-hmm. In Smyrna, because that clinic is so much smaller, it's just medical services, but it has a very large prenatal program. Mm.
Okay. And what about the dental?
Dental is in Nashville and in Clarksville.
Okay. Because I just know that at some years back, when Matthew Walker was in its original location, and you know that was a long time ago.
And I worked in that building at 1501 Herman Street, and so it is near and dear to my heart.
Oh,
so,
definitely.
Yeah.
Well, that was the first time. It's a long time ago.
Yeah.
When I came to Nashville, I didn't have any insurance, but I could do a little sliding scale stuff. And and you all were just a blessing there, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm serious, just a blessing. And I'm just, you know, that's... You know, that's why I be saying Lord bless them when I drive by. You know.
Your story, Sharon, is just like so many others. Mm-hmm. You know, new to Nashville or longtime Nashvillians. I think our pediatrician said that she's seeing like the third generation of babies now because she's been with the organization now almost 20 years.
Yeah.
A lot of people have said to me, you know, Matthew Walker saved my life when I didn't have any insurance and I didn't know where I could go. Matthew Walker saved my life. And now that we are including behavioral health services into our model, you know, as a busy community of people, we don't slow down and think about our behavioral health. And we want people to pay attention to that and be mindful of the stress and the anxiety and the post-traumatic stress disorder that our communities are going through.
Amen.
And so all of these things now we bring together, pushing forward Dr. Walker's vision to have a comprehensive service model that is sensitive to the needs of every patient.
Yeah.
And so it's not a broad stroke that we think our services are, you know, it's the cookie cutter. It's not. They are tailored to the needs of the individual patient when they come to us.
Well, that's wonderful. And that is really what the patient needs. Now, as I mentioned on the front end, you all are in the midst of celebrating National Health Center Week, and you've had a series of events, Katina, going on, and there's still more to come this week. Can you can you tell our audience, please, what's ahead for Thursday through the rest of the week?
Sure. So every day this week, we have been showing appreciation to our staff because they have. We have one of the most committed group of staff members that I think rivals any community health center across the nation. Standing up in the middle of this COVID pandemic without hesitation. And so we've been showering our staff at all sites with some great lunches, great special treats. We've got new health center t-shirts. We've got our own mask now that have our logo on them. And so staff, all staff receive those. And so we've been having our staff appreciation days every day this week, starting on Tuesday. Monday, actually, we started with our patients and saying thank you to our patients, because without our patients, we would not be where we are today. And so we absolutely started the week off saying thank you to our patients. And now every day we've gone on to say thank you to our employees. And so tomorrow we will have our National Mayor Cooper coming by for a visit. It'll be his first visit to the health center. And so we're all excited about that. And then we will have our COVID testing on Friday. And so Matthew Walker Health Center has been joining Connect Us Health Center and the Tennessee Department of Health, Health Disparities Elimination Office on various weekends doing community-wide COVID testing. And so Friday, we will be doing our own COVID testing at the health center. It's drive-through. It's free. And that will begin at 8 a.m. and go through until noon. And so we encourage individuals that are symptomatic, you know, those same symptoms that we hear about, you know, fever, shortness of breath, loss of taste and smell, what all of that is, and come out and get tested, and they will receive their results. On average, we've been averaging about 3 or 4 days turnaround time for our test results. And so it will be our first time hosting this event at the health center. And so we'll end the week with that on Friday.
Do you have to make an appointment, or you literally just drive up?
You literally just drive up.
Oh, wow.
You stay in your car. You don't get out your car. And so I think we'll be giving away masks to people who show up on Friday. We're giving away school supplies tomorrow to kids. I forgot to mention that. And so tomorrow's the school supply giveaway. So we employees donated school supplies. Dale supported us by sending us school supplies to give out to the community. And so we have lots of school supplies to give out to.
Excellent. you all are doing it over there.
We're trying. You know, usually we have our community pancake breakfast.
Yeah.
We have gotten up to about, I think, 300 people coming out on a Saturday for our pancakes. And, you know, this year, you know, you just can't do it. And
that's so
we still wanted to serve the community in some way.
Yeah.
And also help kids with their back-to-school supplies, because whether distance learning or in the classroom, they still need pencils and crayons. And while I'm on the note, Sharon, let me just say that even if they're distance learning, they still need to get their immunizations.
That's
and so we're
true.
Very, very concerned and wanting parents to understand not to let their children fall behind on their immunization schedule,
right,
regardless of what the school situation is, because in addition to COVID, we definitely do not want to see measles come back.
No.
We don't want to see an upsurge in flu,
mm-mm,
or pneumonia. So we need people to continue to come out and get their vaccines.
Amen. Now, Katina, for more information and et cetera, best number to call or go to the website. What do you want them to do?
Start at the website. It's mm-hmm. easier. MWCHC.org. But if anyone has specific questions or needs or want to partner with us in any way, they can give me a call at my desk at 615-340-1265.
Excellent. And she will call you back. Okay. See, I'm just saying, she will, because she wouldn't have gave you her desk number.
I gave it to you.
Yes, definitely. Well, thank you so much. And, you know, you all, if you need us on anything, you know, just holler back, and, you know, because we're neighbors.
Yes, absolutely. And I wish WFSK and Fisk and all of you success this year and in the start of this school year.
That's right.
And so together, we can definitely make our community stronger and better. And so I appreciate your continued support
absolutely.
Of the health
issue. Absolutely. And having sitting in between your facility and Matthew Walker and Meharry.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, I got it on my left and my right. And, you know, I was like, yes. See, you all do not understand. We're in the Mecca.
Yeah, we are.
Okay.
I was explaining that to somebody. I know we got to go, but I was explaining that to somebody that I came down here from Chicago because my high school teacher told me to go there I would be in the HBCU Mecca.
Yes.
And so it's the truth. We are. We're in the Mecca.
And we're in the health Mecca, too. Down
we
around
are.
The corner and across the street. It don't get no better than that.
Katina, thank you so much.
And I will keep up with what y'all are doing and pass the information on to the community.
All right. Great so much.
Okay.
Thank you, Sharon.
You're
Have
welcome.
A good rest of the
okay.
day.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
That is Ms. Katina Beard, the Chief Executive Officer of the Matthew Walker Comprehensive Health Center. That facility is a straight-up blessing for Nashville. And because, you know, sometimes everybody's not able. Y'all know what I mean when I say you're not able. Then you just do the best you can till times get better. You know, you can look at stuff and you say, oh, they, you know, they are the bomb, or they this or that. Well, it might not be what you think, okay? Everything that glitters is not gold. So they have been a blessing to many a person in the Nashville area, just having the ability to do sliding scale. Because I tell you now, where I go to the doctor, they don't think about no sliding scale, okay? He's just like, what are you talking about, girl? No, we're not the one. We are. But just blah, blah, blah. Oh, okay. Excuse me. So, anyway, we can get, hopefully you all will support that. Go over there tomorrow and Friday, rather, and drive through and get those things handled over there for yourself and your family. Now, we're going to move on to part two of our news straight and directly from the community. And I want to apologize for being a few minutes late to this gentleman, Mr. Donald Williams. He's the president of the National Association of Real Estate Brokers, NAREB. And, Donnell, you know, these are our health providers around the corner. So I'm sorry I got caught up because they do such valuable work for Nashville. And I apologize for having you wait a few extra minutes. How are you today?
I am well. How are you?
I am most excellent. Thank you so much for being with us and, of course, for asking.
I thank you for having me.
Of course. Now, let's get the thumbnail on what the organization is. And do we have a local chapter?
Yes, you do. The National Association of Real Estate Brokers is the oldest African-American real estate trade association in the country, mm-hmm. oldest and largest mm-hmm. in the country. It was founded in 1947 by 11 men and one woman who got together in Tampa, Florida, because mm-hmm. of all of the things that were mm-hmm. going on in the housing, all of the systemic racism, mm-hmm. all of the lack of affordability, all of the problems and situations that were going on, fair housing and what have you, institutions being set up for whites only. Mm-hmm. So 11 brothers and a sister got together mm-hmm. and started this organization. They came across the country from Alabama and Florida and Michigan mm-hmm. and what have you. And those 12 started this organization, which spread across the country to over 100 chapters now.
Mm-hmm.
So we are, our mantra is democracy in housing, mm-hmm. and that's what we've been doing for the past 73 years.
That is beautiful. Well, thank God y'all are there, okay?
Amen.
Seriously, because you're as part of your function as that organization, I know education to the community is a big part of it. And that is why I have you on today to, a lot of people, as we're going through the pandemic and all, you know, survived the recession. And now here they come getting knocked down and drug out again. They're homeowners. Does that make sense?
Can you believe it?
Okay. And so they're like, this is a 1-2 punch. We just recovered from it, from the 08 and 06 and all that time frame. And then we got to stand up and then get knocked down again. So I bet your phone's been ringing.
It has. It's unbelievable the progress uh-huh. that we were able to push forward. Now, you hear we're concerned about black home ownership.
Mm-hmm.
We had launched a campaign about 5 years ago that said 2 million new black home owners in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to report that when I took office and 1 year ago, August 2019,
mm-hmm.
the black home ownership rate was 40.6%.
Mm-hmm.
But I am pleased to let you know today, we're not there, but we're closing the gap.
Mm-hmm.
We are at 47%
oh,
black
wow.
home ownership.
Oh, wow.
So we went up, in 1 year, we went up close to 7 points.
Mm.
We have a multi-pronged approach to solving this problem. We speak mm-hmm. to different genres within our community. We're just not going to stop. We are the boots on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
The National Association of Real Estate Brokers, we're the group that handles all the business, all mm-hmm. the four, you know, listens to your problems
mm-hmm.
and then takes those problems to, we take them to advocate on Capitol Hill.
Mm-hmm.
So things would not have been done without us at all. And we, at all, we identify ourselves as realtists.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not a typo, it's not a misspelling or what
mm-hmm.
have you,
mm-hmm.
realtist. Because in 1947, hey, up until 1964
mm-hmm.
in California, the first
mm-hmm.
black was allowed to be a realtor. They allowed
mm-hmm.
the first black man to be a realtor.
Lord.
I believe it was 1972, 1970 in New Jersey and Florida.
Mm.
So this is this is more than a notion.
Yeah, definitely.
This is we believe that we are the guardians of our community,
uh-huh.
We'd like to be the trusted advisors.
Yeah, and so what's been over all these years? You know, you said 47%. How many millions of people does that actually equal?
Well, there are 1.7 million black millennials that are that make over $100,000
uh-huh.
that do not have a home.
Uh-huh.
That's just 1.7 million black millennials that do not have a home. There are 7 million African Americans right now who are mortgage ready that do not own a home, according to the Freddie Mac 2018 study.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
6.9 plus. There are countless, I don't want to say seniors, I'll say seasoned.
Yes.
African Americans that do not own a home.
Yes.
And according to the Freddie Mac study, they don't buy a home until 48 years old.
Right.
So at 45, 48 years old, we've lost more equity. Okay, we lost more time.
Mm-hmm.
Even though a home is the best investment you can do, it's a live-in bank account, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And, 45, 48, we need to be having some different conversations.
Mm-hmm.
You got to talk about wills and trust and,
mm-hmm.
and probate and reverse mortgages and insurance. So,
mm-hmm.
The people listening, it may not be for you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's for your uncle, your aunt, your grandparents,
mm-hmm.
what have you.
Mm-hmm.
So we're pushing in that direction fervently, especially with the housethenthecar.com campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're tired of seeing our folks drive around
mm-hmm.
in really, really nice cars
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
live with their mother.
Lord.
Or rent an apartment.
Ooh, I know you just stepped on some toes up in this city because, y'all can believe in faking the funk now, okay? Y'all do. And that's so real because, I just said before I started talking to you, everything that glitters is not gold. And nothing could be truer than that statement right there. And ownership versus rental or lease or whatever the case may be. So as part of this preparatory process, credit in this is everything. And that's part of what the work of the organization is as well, to help folks get their budgets in order too.
Oh yeah, we on this website. We have a social media campaign. We do a show once a week now.
Mm-hmm.
We do if you go to housethenthecar.com, housethenthecar.com.
Mm-hmm.
On there, you can take your pre-purchase online class. Okay, so once you take past the class.
Mm-hmm.
Take that while you're in quarantine, take the class, then you can click over, go down a few more, and get your down payment assistance.
Wow.
There's down payment funds out there for folks.
Oh, is it now?
Then there's a budget button on there because you need to know where your dollars are going now.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're beginning to save, everybody's swiping, but nobody's calculating, nobody's seeing exactly where the money is. An online fillable budget, fill it out and email it to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have a actual FICO estimator. People are watching TV late at night and they think they can watch a commercial and sign up and this is their real credit score. This is not your real credit score.
Mm, mm, mm. Now, hold on a second because I need to take a break because I want you to go further into this, see. Because, some of the people that are listening to you on this afternoon drive are driving. And I want y'all to get this now, okay? Yeah, well, I want you to think about it as you drive home to your apartment complex. Did I just tell the truth? Okay, did I? I mean, according to what you said, the statistics indicate that and everything else, too. Anyway, I'm happy to have Donald Williams, president of the National Association of Real Estate Brokers, with me to talk about breaking some financial constraints in the growth of Black home ownership. And some of you so badly want to become homeowners. So, Donald, hold on for a second. We got a quick timeout, and then we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon Kay.
What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. Life insurance is one of those subjects that makes people want to change the subject rather than admit they probably don't have enough. That's why State Farm agent Terry W. Jones focuses on how the benefits of life insurance actually live on by asking people to think in terms of life without having to sell the house, insurance, or life without having to give up college, insurance. Find out how the benefits of life insurance can live on for your family. Call State Farm agent Terry W. Jones in Nashville at 615-256-6066 or online at terrywjones.net and put the life back in life insurance.
Good afternoon. It's been quite active out here as far as wrecks. Give yourself extra time on the South Loop, the West Loop. It's building 65 up through Madison once again. Woodland Street at 6, we saw a wreck there a few minutes ago as they finish up the paperwork on a wreck at Wedgewood at 8th and Couchville Pike at Reynolds Road, and Donaldson had some injuries. This traffic report brought to you by Bars Music City Soul Food at barsmusiccitysoulfood.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Keep up with the guests and topics on What's the 411 with Sharon Kay. Friend us on Facebook and Twitter. Search under Sharon Kay's 411.
It's What's the 411. Here again, Sharon Kay.
All righty, Nashville. Sharon Kay is in the house. Mighty glad to be on Jazzy 88 WFSK Historic Fisk University. And What's the 411 with Sharon Kay is brought to you by Terry W. Jones, independent agent, State Farm Insurance. We thank you so very much for supporting What's the 411. And this afternoon, our news from the community comes from Donnell Williams. He is the president of the National Association of Real Estate Brokers. Now, Donnell, before the break, I wanted you to, you were given kind of some quick information for people that were on their way home this afternoon on some preparatory things that will help them. And we got a few extra minutes here. Can you, tell them, go to the website first, right? That's what you said.
Yeah, the website is interactive. It's housethenthecar.com.
Okay, that's first.
And on there, you can take your online HUD-approved housing counseling class. Okay, you can, after you finish, you get your certificate. Your certificate then allows you to get down payment funds. Okay, so you can no longer say, I don't have the money, I don't have a down payment. No. You go apply, take your class, get your certificate, click the next button, get your down payment funds. It's all on the website. Then we have an online fillable budget, because in this society we're swipe. Yeah. Hardly anybody walks around with cash.
Yeah.
And we need to know where our money is going. So fill out the budget so you can have a better handle on it. It's right there on the site. You can email that to yourself as well. Then for your FICO estimator, the FICO estimator is right on the page from FICO. Just go there and do the FICO estimator so we can have a better realization of what our credit score is, because credit score, you know, it drives the country. It's your forever report card.
Yeah.
That's what a credit score is. So, yeah, you got your down payment, you got your budget, you got your FICO, you got your credit score. All of those things are right there on the site. Plus, we do a show, a social media platform every week.
Excellent.
So, yeah, we're trying to get our folks ready and prepared because, hey, whether you rent or buy, you must pay for the space you occupy.
That's true.
So why not own?
And you know what? There's nothing like the peace of mind of that. I tell you, just owning your own walls around you, and nobody over your head and under your feet and all that. If you live in the city,
it's unbelievable. Oh, where else can you find that security?
Definitely. Definitely.
Where else can you find it? And then the whole American dream, is built upon life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But it's all based on home ownership. It's all based on owning land.
Now,
so
that's it, y'all. Okay, that hasn't changed in all these years. It's still the same concept.
That's right,
for sure. Now, Donnell, I'm going to probably circle back with you when I and give you a little bit more time so I can go more in depth on a few things. And this will give me time to look through your through the website. And
no problem.
Yeah, if folks want to call the station here or whatever, and we'll be happy to pass that information on. And I've got your publicist number, and I'll be in touch with her, because I think it's a beautiful thing that you all are doing, and I want to make sure the community stays on point with it and utilizes the service, because that's important. to not yes. just the community, but also, you know, to our nation, that we own something and we're not renting everything.
That is correct. So I'm here when you need me.
Excellent. And also on the website, before we go, if somebody is needing some assistance or just to talk to somebody in your realm, what's the best way for them to do it?
They can call. If you assistance could take many forms, so I don't know. But if you want to talk, if you want to find somebody, you can go to the national website,
yeah.
or you can get a telephone number. The telephone number is not hard. We're based in Lanham, Maryland.
Okay.
And that number is 301-552-9340. There's contact information on the national website or on this campaign website. But, yeah, we are positioning ourselves for greatness.
Wonderful. Well, that's what's up, and I'm all in favor of that. Donnell, thank you so much. And we are looking forward to continuing to check with you and get some updated information, okay?
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye. All right, bye. Bye. That was Mr. Donnell Williams, of president of the National Association of Real Estate Brokers, NAREB. And check that out. You know, go on there. And as he said, while you're sitting at home, and you're quarantined and all, you know, no sense in eating some more chips and cookies. You want to become a homeowner, that's what's up. And then you can clean up some of that mess that is part of your credit history, etc. Now, it is statistical information time. And I definitely want to welcome this guest to the show today. His name now, Lauren. Is it Appen or Appen?
Appen.
Appen. Okay.
Yeah.
It's Lauren Appen of Fishbowl, and Lauren's organization is online and collects information and data and trends. And I'm happy that. You know, now that I have a connect with you all, I can see all these interesting research projects and things that you all are involved in and tracking. So thank you so much for your time today. Hello.
Hi, Sharon. Are you able to hear me? You cut out for a second. Sorry.
Oh,
you were...
Okay. Yeah, I was just saying, you know, what you all do.
Thanks.
Yeah, and thank you for being here with us. And you know, technology is not perfect, so you know, we just
no
by any stretch.
Of course. Well, no, really excited to be here with you, Sharon. Thanks for having me.
Of course.
Yeah, as you were mentioning a bit about our platform where we capture a lot of these insights. So Fishbowl, mm-hmm. it's actually a new workplace social network where verified professionals and employees come across from different industries, mm-hmm. getting together with others that are working the same jobs as they are, from mm-hmm. tech professionals to teachers, and we give them a place to speak more candidly and anonymously about their work lives. So, you know, especially right now with everyone working from home, a lot of people kind of describe it as the virtual hallway mm-hmm. or office that many professionals no longer have.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So for that reason, are they more apt to check around online than they would be if they were at their jobs?
I'm sorry, Sharon. It seems like there was a little bit of a connection.
I'm going to have X take a break so I can try to get whatever this is, because you know, stuff is just nowadays, you know, just none of this stuff ever works. It's expensive.
it is. It was just cutting. No, of course, you know, I think it goes along with the whole work from home.
Yeah,
we're now all
yeah.
dependent on the technology, but you're coming through loud and clear right now.
Oh, okay, cool. All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so knowing that that's the case, since the pandemic, so much has changed.
Yeah,
and workplaces and processes. So since people are now home and can search and do a variety, while they're supposed to be working, doing a variety of things online. They're also able to get into websites and services like yours and just,
exactly,
you know, start searching for jobs or whatever. And that's how you guys came up with this concept?
Yeah, so, you know, the way we came up with Fishbowl was that a couple of years ago, we realized that there are so many networks out there, social media sites like Instagram and Facebook, for our personal lives. But we have this whole other professional identity where, as whether you're a physician or a teacher or a tech professional, there's no place to simply go and talk about it. And so, you know, we wanted to create a platform where people, where you can go and essentially talk shop, you know, talk about your work life with other people that actually understand. And so, as you would imagine, during the pandemic now, with everyone working from home, everyone is seeking people that can relate to their own jobs. So whether it's a teacher wanting to chat with other fifth grade teachers across the country about whether they feel comfortable to go back to school or not right now, or a professional working in consulting talking about, you know, the best ways to stay productive while working from home. That's why a lot of them are coming to Fishbowl right now.
And from that, the comments and various things, is it a venting? Are people venting, or are they really coming up with some true constructive things when they?
What Fishbowl, I would say, does is it is just representative of the types of conversations we have offline with other professionals. So the best way to think about it is if you're, you know, with other coworkers, either during work or after work, you might be speaking about a specific project, you might be speaking about certain frustrations, or you might be speaking about a win. And what I would say is Fishbowl really is representative of that whole, that entirety of our professional lives. But people do come to the platform to get help and to get advice. And so about 3/4 of the conversations are actually questions. That's not to say that people don't vent there, but I think they're going there to connect, to get advice, really more than anything.
Okay, more so advice than looking for a man or looking for a boyfriend or whatever.
Exactly. I think it differs from a lot of the other social media out there, specifically because it is that professional bent.
Yeah.
And a lot of leaders of really large companies go in there to understand what their employees are feeling and thinking, but also to give them advice too. Yeah. So it's also not just for the for the young 20-somethings. We have CEOs from, you know, large organizations on there chiming in as well.
So you have you noticed any kind of, because I had an interview and I haven't even run it yet up here on the station, that a couple of months ago I interviewed a Google executive about some of the searches that they saw patterns. And are you seeing any kind of patterns or anything since the pandemic on mental health issues or family issues like breakups or things of that nature?
Yeah, it's been quite fascinating. One of the unique things about Fishbowl that I think might even distinguish it from a place like LinkedIn, which is more of a resume, is that people come to talk on Fishbowl. So we have a real good pulse on what people are feeling and thinking, and it's been really quite eye-opening, I would say, to see the trends over the past couple months. So specifically to your point about mental health, we've seen a lot of professionals talking about burnout specifically. And through the conversations and through surveys, we've seen that actually 68% of professionals are suffering from workplace burnout. A large majority of them are actually working more hours than ever before, because I think you have this blurring of your professional life and your personal life. And many professionals realize, you know, after they're done with dinner, if they don't have anything else to work on, maybe they'll keep working. I think that contributes to it a lot, as well as being disconnected from your coworkers. We've also seen people talking about relationships, like you were saying, and we saw that actually 30% said it improved their relationship, 30%, about a third said that it hurt it, and then a third said it was pretty neutral. But I think what we've seen is that this pandemic really amplifies anything that's going on.
Right,
so whether things are going well, it's going to go really well.
Yeah.
If not so well, maybe not as well.
Yeah, yeah. Have you seen the opposite of the burnout, like I'm the happiest I've ever been person yet?
So one of the things, given that 70% are saying that they're experiencing burnout, there is that other 30%, right, that aren't as much. And what has been interesting to see is that people are talking about increased flexibility and really enjoying working from home and now being able to work from wherever. Many professionals are actually even thinking about moving cities because they have this increased flexibility.
Is that where Nashville enters into this data?
Yeah, that's exactly correct. We saw, specifically with Nashville, almost half, so around 45% of professionals are considering moving to a more affordable city, is what the latest data is showing from our platform.
Well, and you all know that's true, because it is expensive here. Oh, wow, that's really how they really feel. And that's for real. So,
yeah.
Oh, wow. But it, was that the only, thing that they attributed to? They didn't say, well, I'm worried the city's big and growing and there's too many this or that, or blah, blah. I mean, so that was it, really.
So, well, what we're seeing is everyone is looking at, I think the pandemic is causing people to question, do I need to be where I am physically right now?
Right.
And a lot of people are thinking about, one, costs, but two, also, what is important to me? Should I be closer to family? Should I be closer to, I might want to be closer to the beach because I enjoy that more. If I'm working from home, you know, professionals are thinking about what is actually priority for them. And so when they answered these surveys, we had a lot of conversation around it, and we saw that yes, affordability actually is the primary reason, but there are many other reasons, such as just quality of life, and you know, obviously being close to family is one contributing factor to that.
And these were people that responded that were working remotely.
That is correct. The majority of the professionals on our platform are working remotely. Now it does differ by industry, and so, for example, you can imagine that teachers on our platform, you know, we have many, many educators on the platform. Their role in their job is tied to their city. And so only 13% of teachers were actually considering moving to a different city.
And also of the ones that you sampled or that responded to the fishbowl, some of them probably had already moved though, right?
Right. So we actually saw that there were 5 to 6% actually already moved that had responded. So I think they made the decision a little quicker than many of us once they realized that their lifestyle's changing with the current pandemic.
I think the pandemic opened a lot of people's eyes to a lot of things, you know, such as being close together. Suddenly that's
exactly.
Not so important to them, you know, suddenly I don't might not want to live in downtown, you know, it's kind of, you know,
a lot of people are considering moving out of the city to the country, to the suburbs.
I can definitely see that coming up in people's discussions and conversations. Because the different, you know, we have 95 counties, and each of them largely had different plans and rolled differently because of the way the structure of the state is set up. And, you know, we have the major metropolitan areas, Nashville, Memphis, as the largest, followed by Chattanooga and Knoxville. And we make up, you know, the biggest of the big. And everybody else is kind of under this other umbrella that the governor has the health departments and blasés, and there's different feelings politically outside of the bigger cities. Okay.
Right.
This is a red, primarily red state. So, you know, it's a red state thinking. And the counties that are not, does the fishbowl, is that part of it? Do people say, you know, are they sharing anything politically with it or just?
So, yeah, one of the unique things about fishbowl is that we do give you the ability to discuss things in a more safe way, mm-hmm. where you can have conversations with just portions of your identity as a verified professional working at a specific place, or let's say a verified teacher. And because of that, some professionals are more comfortable talking about politics, mm-hmm. on the platform.
Yeah.
And so that is something that we do see discussed. And obviously, as you can imagine, with the upcoming election, that's becoming a more popular topic.
Oh, yes. Now you all conducted this, extracted this information in July, and since that time, here we are in almost the middle of August.
Yeah.
And so this. Information I'm looking at now from when we booked this on the front end. Has there been any change to this since that time?
So we haven't conducted a follow-up survey, mm-hmm. but what I can say is that we've seen continued consistent conversation around this topic of moving cities,
mm-hmm.
especially as many professionals and many of us are questioning, mm-hmm. is there, you know, an accelerated second phase, and in many states they're going through that right now, mm-hmm. and I think many professionals are worried about what this fall and winter will look like. So mm-hmm. we haven't conducted a survey, but there's definitely a continued consistent conversation around it.
Okay, and how's the age looking for you know?
Yeah, great question. It's I think as you would expect, somewhat where the younger professional, so primarily from the ages of 21, actually up to 40, around 50% of them are in line with the rest of mm-hmm. professionals saying that they're looking to move.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get to 40 to 45, it drops down to 30% from 50%, and mm-hmm. at 45 plus, it drops down to 25% mm-hmm. of professionals interested in moving. Mm-hmm. And what we've seen is it really comes down to how established someone and their family might be in a specific city. Moving with kids, changing schools,
right.
I think that complicates matters
right.
quite a bit.
Right. And I know you have the top three or four highest and lowest that people were ready to pack and be gone. What are the top cities?
Yeah, so the highest cities where the greatest number of professionals want to move due to affordability would be San Francisco, mm-hmm. D.C., and New York City, mm-hmm. all around 58% to 60%.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what you can attribute to that is just the how high the cost of living in these
yeah.
cities is. Now, the lowest cities are Houston, Greenville, South Carolina, and Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
Houston and Greenville are 35%, and Oklahoma City is 25% of professionals. And so there, again, I think there is a distinction, at least from the highest, from a cost yeah. of living standpoint, where they already are quite a bit lower from,
yeah.
from that standpoint.
So Nashville's in the 20s, 30s, 20s?
So Nashville's actually at 45%. So I'd say Nashville's
wow.
actually right in the middle.
Oh, wow. So half of y'all ready to pack up and leave, man.
Yeah, I think what we're seeing
oh,
is,
wow.
what's been fascinating is that there are professionals we're seeing talk about moving from San Francisco to Nashville, but then we're seeing, you know, professionals from Nashville talking about moving from Nashville to
right.
maybe a slightly smaller city
right.
that is more affordable.
Right. Well, that's interesting. Well, Lauren, I'm going to be you know, when you guys do the update, be sure to let me know, because I'd like to, you know, because I'm kind of wondering, as I see, you know, the jobs come in, they're going straight out to the counties, and they're going out of the cities, you know, Amazon and all these other companies, they're going straight out of the big ones like our county. So that's, and we'll see what the people do. Interesting.
Yeah, we'll keep you up to date.
Oh, do that now, for real. Now, again, tell folks if they want to get on the fishbowl, what's the best way?
Yeah.
Tell
them. Yeah, of course. So the easiest way to find fishbowls, you can just search for a fishbowl on the App Store, or you can go to fishbowlapp.com. I think one thing that's good to note is that we've actually just recently opened up to students. So we have now tens of thousands of students signing up to understand what it's like to work in a specific industry or at a specific company.
Excellent. Lauren Oppen, thank you so much. We'll be in touch. We'll be talking to you soon, okay? And I appreciate your time this afternoon.
Yeah. Thanks so much, Sharon.
Absolutely.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
some of these people that responded, you know, they were working at these huge, some of them were huge corporations, you know, big ones. And, you know, some of them were smaller. But, you know, that's just something different to think about, talk about. And people are thinking it. Pack my bags, I'm out. They're thinking it. And it's based on how expensive Nashville's gotten. You know, we're facing a tax increase. Let's go up to news. Okay. Let's take our time out, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to What's the 411 with Sharon K.